Gracious God, thank you that you are that, full of grace and mercy and love for us. Show us what you have in your word and show us continually that each and every story of every page of the scripture is about you, Jesus, and what you've done for us and how you showed God's love so greatly to us. May that continually transform us into your people. In his name, amen. So yeah, we've been talking through many Old Testament themes and people and events and stories and how it's not a bunch of scattered stories, but the Bible tells one story, and it tells the story of God saving his people. Well, one writer, one pastor put this kind of long list together of how Jesus fulfills so many people and things in the Old Testament. So it's a bit of a long section, but I want to read it for you because a lot of really good, deep stuff in it. It's written by, it was actually preached in a sermon by Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City. And he starts by saying, Jesus is the true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is given to you. Jesus is the true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, his blood now cries out not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. Jesus is the true and better Abraham, who answered the call of God to leave the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void, not knowing where he went. Jesus is the true and better Isaac, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us. Jesus is the true and better Jacob, who wrestled with God and took the blow of justice we deserved. So we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace to wake us up and discipline us. Jesus is the true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. Jesus is the true and better Moses, who stands in the gap between people and the Lord and mediates a new covenant. Jesus is the true and better rock of Moses, who was struck with God's justice but now gives us water in the desert. Jesus is the true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer who then intercedes and saves his stupid friends. Jesus is the true and better David, whose victory becomes his whole people's victory, even though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. Jesus is the true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. Jesus is the real Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain so that the angel of death would pass over us. He's also the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, true lamb, true light, and true bread. And he finishes by saying, you see, the Bible's not first and foremost about you. It's first and foremost about Jesus and what he did for you. So that's in one, you know, list, everything we've tried to talk about this fall, some different stories we didn't talk about. But that gets us into today a bit of a weird story, and that is the bronze snake. It's a weird story, but it is one that Jesus precisely quotes himself. So that kind of matters. And the Israelites that have camped in the wilderness for nearly 40 years, they can smell the promised land, they're about to leave south and make that trek up, and they're ready, but as time and time again, they still don't trust God. Every time there's the littlest thing that doesn't go their way, where are you? You hate us. You want us to die. And you count back and say, God saved them out of slavery with those powerful plagues, saved them at the Red Sea, delivered them from the Egyptian army, gave them water in the desert, food in the desert, manna each and every day, protects them in battle, gives them his presence daily. And after all that, they still distrust. And so they're about to get in the promised land, and once again they have another setback, and they lose it. They grumble. And here, at this time, not all the others, but at this time, God then lets them experience some of the consequences of not trusting God. And it seems pretty harsh, I'll agree, and they're bitten by poisonous snakes. Now, I realize this is a challenging story, and it'd be easier to avoid it because we say, oh, man, God, that's pretty harsh, right? Or why would God do that? God is love. Why would God punish in this way? Yes, those are challenges. I don't deny those. And hopefully that you don't jump ship right at there, because there's a lot of good stuff in this story, and it points to God's grace and to Jesus. But it is a challenge. And one little piece of explaining that is that it involves God having saved them over and over and over and over again, saying, trust me, I care for you, trust me, I love you, and over and over and over again, they don't. And at this time, God says, okay, you will experience some of the consequences of what life looks like apart from me. It's kind of like you allow your children or students or other people you interact with to face consequences, right? If you didn't study for your math test and you're not good at math, you're probably not going to do well on the test. Or in our house, sometimes if you do not eat dinner, you may not be eligible for dessert. If you're under a certain age, I should qualify that. If you show up late for work every day and do not do what's asked of you, you'll probably have consequences somewhere. Or if you eat poorly and don't exercise for decades, your body will have consequences. God finally allows them to face consequences for their ongoing refusal to trust when life gets difficult. And he lets them face consequences of sin. But that's not all. Even right in the middle of that, right as it happens, God is still filled with grace. He doesn't give them the full consequence. Romans says quite plainly, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Even in their rebellion, even in their mistrust, even in their idol fashioning, God saves them and says, hey, look, trust me. God doesn't give them everything they deserve, and he gives them actually everything they don't. He gives them mercy and grace. So they complain to Moses, and Moses prays, and then God says, okay, this is going to be a little weird, but, you know, do it anyway. A lot of times when you follow me, you have to do weird things. And so God says, set up this bronze snake and tell people to look at it. Okay, that seems, you know, is that it? You know, what else? Look at it. Have faith in me that I will save you. And they have to look at the image of the thing that is actually hurting them. An image of the very thing hurting them will then be a sign of faith that God will save them. And this strange, weird story then is quoted by Jesus just as he says some of his most famous words, which I find remarkable. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who has come to him by night in John 3, secretly to talk to him and say, I'm intrigued by you, but all the other Pharisees want to kill you, but I kind of like you. You know, it talks about being born anew, born again. And then Jesus says to him, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And the very next verse is one that many of you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So in this kind of strange Old Testament story, gets put right in the middle of what's called the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus saying, this is the point of it all. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, looks to him, believes in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. So just as the bronze snake was God's way of salvation for the Israelites who were bitten by serpents in the wilderness, Jesus Christ, crucified, is God's way of salvation for everyone who has been bitten by the deadly venom of sin in the wilderness of this world that we live in. So if you've been bitten by the venom of sin, or if you've been bitten by the effects of death, if you've been bitten by your own pride and your own selfishness, if you've been bit, look to the one who is lifted up for you. And when you look there, God's love and forgiveness is poured out to you. Jesus became the snake for you to forgive you. Jesus was lifted up, and we look at him, and we live. Jesus dies, you live. That's the gospel. Amen.